Behind our family's home at 1314 West 3rd in Tyler, Texas, stood a sprawling sycamore tree. It is still there and still the tallest tree in that neighborhood. I loved that tree, spent a lot of time climbing it, spent even more time dreaming underneath its leafy opulence. So I really do love sycamore trees, even to this day. When I went to Israel for the first time, I ran across a sycamore tree just for tourists. You could climb up a ladder and hang on its branches there in Jericho. Much like Zacchaeus, I suppose, out on a limb waiting to see Jesus. All for just $10. It was a bargain. Now, Zacchaeus gets short shrift, if you know what I mean. All we remember about him is that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And that's what happens when you're vertically challenged. You figure out how to overcome your slightness. Now, all of that is so, but there is so much more to this wee little man than his diminutive stature. But his neighbors did not see it. They had pegged him as a wicked little man. He was, after all, a tax collector hired by the Romans to collect fees from which he would get a cut. The text says he was very rich. Now, when you combine the words tax collector and rich, that is usually not a good look. And it's important to remember this, that it's still not a good look. The father of my high school girlfriend was our county's tax assessor. Unfortunately, his name made him suspect. His name was Tom Crook. In fact, he made it to Ripley's Believe It or Not, Believe It or Not. So when you're a rich tax collector, or your name is Tom Crook, you look a little suspicious. But there's something else you need to know about Zacchaeus. He is truly generous. In his honor, I composed some more verses that the choir was nice enough to sing. And the verse that is composed goes like this. Zacchaeus was a rich little man. A rich little man was he. He worked out in a toll booth house and got himself some fees. Zacchaeus was a generous man. A generous man was he. And half of all he earned, he gave it to all who were in need. And four times more for those who were in any way aggrieved. How do you like that alliteration? Is that pretty good? Well, thank you very much. Those verses would now be called reputation rehabilitation. Yes. So Jesus then looks up in the tree, invites himself over to the home of this little man with a very bad reputation. But there, Zacchaeus tells his famous guest something truly astonishing. Half of my possessions I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I pay them back four times. And Jesus seems utterly astounded at what he is hearing. Now remember, Jesus had encountered a tax collector in the temple last week who could only pray, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. But that's not what Zacchaeus does. Zacchaeus, in fact, reminds him of his generosity. And it is fairly amazing to Jesus. Now, Jesus had a special place in his heart for tax collectors. He even had one in his inner circle, Matthew, or he's sometimes called Levi. And Matthew, or Levi, had invited Jesus over for a party thrown for him where all the guests were what? Tax collectors. So Jesus was called a friend of sinners and tax collectors, as though the two terms were synonymous. But upon hearing what Zacchaeus has to say, Jesus responds with these amazing words. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Even the tax collectors who seemed utterly lost, at least to their neighbors. Yet Zacchaeus shatters all that. He's not that kind of guy. He's a very different kind of guy. He is generous. So Jesus says to him, today, salvation has come to this home, which is to say that even the generous still need Jesus' salvation. You know, salvation is not something that can be bought or sold. It is always gift and grace. So I have this question for Zacchaeus. I'd really like to know the answer to this. But it's so often in the Gospels, you never get the answer. What motivated Zacchaeus, this little man, to be so generous? Had he been poor as a child? Had he known what it is to be hungry or homeless? Had he seen too many poor children roaming the streets of Jericho looking for food? Did he feel a special responsibility for the poor simply because God loves the poor? Or that God laid it upon his heart, to whom much is given, much is required? Had he read the scriptures where God has a special concern for the widows and the orphans, the least of these? What put that generous impulse into Zacchaeus' heart? What makes any one of us generous? What makes anyone really care? Now, what really caught me about Zacchaeus is that he claimed he gave half of his income to the poor. Think about that. Now, that's also what some very famous billionaires have promised to do. Have you read about this? Over 200 of the world's richest folks have signed something called the Giving Pledge, first proposed by Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett. It is a pledge that they will give away half of their income and their wealth either during their life or their will when they die. Now, one of those to sign the Giving Pledge is Mackenzie Scott. You may remember her as the former wife of Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. Well, after their divorce in 2019, Mackenzie received 4% stake in the Amazon stocks. And her current wealth, as of last month, is estimated to be, are you ready for it? $42 billion. That's from 4%, which makes her the third richest woman in the United States and the 40th richest person in the entire world. Now, if she gave away half, there would be plenty left over, you know. But here's what you may not know about Mackenzie Scott. She graduated from a good Presbyterian university, Princeton University, where she studied under the Nobel Prize-winning author Toni Morrison. Her teacher, Toni Morrison, called Mackenzie one of her best students ever in the creative writing program. Indeed, Mackenzie's first novel, The Testing of Luther Albright, won a 2006 book award. Apparently, Toni Morrison's concern for the needy and her deep empathy for those who are distressed somehow rubbed off on Mackenzie, and that generosity resulted. Now, Mackenzie decided to give away half of her wealth for these reasons. Here they are. She feels that wealth inequality is a social justice issue. Giving away her money was one way for her to address this injustice in our society, where the very wealthy have more than they know what to do with, and the very poor have too little. She also feels that excessive wealth is potentially corrupting for those who have too much and make them dismissive of others. And she also feels that giving money to groups with no strings attached is a way to honor people's creativity and their integrity. And did you know that Mackenzie Scott has given $20 million to 10 groups here in New Mexico? No strings attached. So the Zacchaeus impulse is alive and well. People of wealth are still quite generous, thankfully, and will continue to be so. And all the rest of us, no matter how much money we have, can also be generous. Now, I'm not suggesting that today's sermon is about half of your wealth. It may not be half of your wealth for you or anyone we know. But when you have $42 billion, that you can make that work. It's really about a generous spirit, a caring soul, a Christ-like heart that motivates this generosity. It is in truth what I would call the Zacchaeus impulse. The Zacchaeus impulse that says, I'm going to give away half of all I have to the poor, and four times more if I have defrauded anyone. Listen, whether you're poor or you're rich or you're in between, we can be generous. Why? Amazing grace, abounding grace, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Thanks be to God. Amen.